Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
But anyway, joining us now to talk about the Ravens, as I said, go to Gunner, give him 600 mil, 10 years, and move on with life. He might not take it. But the Ravens got to get to 53 as the Bills loom on September 7th. Here to talk about that more, Bob Haney, Vinny's Rado, Nolan McGraw. Let's welcome in on the Window Nation guest hotline, Baltimore Banners, Gianna Hahn. Gianna, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. How about you guys?
Waiting for that $100 million contract to come my way. Gianna Hahn. But anywho, tale of two Terps, Corey Bullock, Bo Braid, how would you assess their status 2 months ago compared to where it is today?
Well, 2 months ago, I don't know if I could necessarily pick out Corey Bullock in a crowd, but I certainly know who he is now. And I would guess that he's pretty much a shoo-in on this roster. I very much expect him to make the cut. Bo is such a harder evaluation. You know, obviously I know who he was last year because he was the only undrafted rookie to make the team, but it's just hard to read the inner motivations of the team. If they didn't play him because he wasn't doing well, if they didn't play him on defense because they already knew what they got, if they wanted to hide him from having too much film, I don't really know. If you look at Bo, he seemed to be in good spirits the past few weeks, and they certainly know where their status is based on this new, like, grading system that they have that always shows where they are. But again, just don't really know with him. I think he brings a lot of special teams ability. I know other safeties speak really highly of him, but Reuben Lowry's definitely made it more of a challenge. And if they truly carry four running backs, that means a lot of these defensive groups aren't going to be able to take some of these undrafted guys that sit out.
Gianna, when I look, I don't know if you did the 53 with Jonas, but I'm kind of right on board. Same as Jonas with his 53.
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly talked about it a lot. I actually wrote about Corey and Bo specifically, but I would definitely agree with him. I think maybe both of us have a little bias, me being a Howard County kid and Jonas being a Terp towards Bo and just having known him from last year. But we all know that this team is known for special teams, and last year maybe we saw a little step away from that, and part of it was because of inexperience on special teams. So that kind of also makes me feel like Bo should have the edge, similar to Jonas. But yeah, I mean, when I was skimming through it again this morning, I just don't really see much on his that I would question.
Now, do you think that they will add a veteran?
So I would think that, like, the positions that they would have added a veteran would have been maybe kicker if they didn't like what Luke was doing, or safety if they didn't see enough from their young safeties. But those positions, the young people did show out. Maybe if a good O-lineman hit the market, but that doesn't happen very often. So I'm not ruling it out per se, but I feel like they have already added a ton of veterans on cheap deals, and that's pretty much what they're going to do. They even, you know, added Brent during camp. So at this point, I don't know necessarily how much more room they have for that with all the young talent that had really, really good camps this year.
Now, Gianna, for game day against Buffalo, can they have all the backs up? Can Keaton Mitchell and Ali both be up?
They can. I don't know. So something that we were all wondering is he did say that they will have four running backs. But again, when you're playing this game, you could also trade him and get something back. And he certainly has maybe some more work that way. And it's not like they don't have some other returners. But if we take him at his word, Rasheed will be on the roster and they certainly can have him, all four of them, because, you know, with the new kickoff, you have those two returners back there, and maybe they see value in that over carrying another position. Maybe it's, you know, David Ojabo and some of the a lineman that would be inactive on game day.
Now, Gianna, I tell you, a guy who went from, you know, probably a really bubble guy to a guy that, you know, has been playing extreme. Armour Davis has been, like, he was great Saturday, and he's been good throughout the whole camp. He's been healthy, and he's been making plays on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I've never really had much doubt that he's good. The Ravens are so adamant about the relation of his talent. He's a smart guy, they say. It's really just been the question about health. And he did miss a few practices, and it was actually right after I'd shouted him out in my practice recap as a guy who stood out, and then the next day he was gone. And I was like, I hope I didn't jinx him. But he came back pretty quickly after that, didn't seem to miss a beat. We were a little surprised at how much he played last game, just considering, you know, his injury history and how much the Ravens already know about him. But when he was in there, he played really well. He's had some really good plays in coverage, some big plays, and also just, like, staying with guys. He's won one-on-ones in practice. So, if he stays healthy, I feel like that's the comment for half the cornerbacks, right? If he stays healthy, Kitolei stays healthy for that year. So, if they all stay healthy, I think this is going to be a fantastic room. But I don't know. That position certainly sees a lot of injuries, and those guys have seen it in their own past. So, knock on wood.
What do you think they're going to do with Brent Urban?
You know, I love Brent Urban. He always brings a smile to my face in the locker room, and he seems to bring a smile to defensive coordinator's face and to the D-line coach's face. And something they both said was that he's just so reliable. They know what they have in him. You know, he's been not a star on these past defenses, a big part of this really stout run defense they've had. And he didn't sign elsewhere as a free agent. He signed with the Ravens late, which kind of implies that he'd like to be here. He's a vested veteran. So if they cut him or waived him and put him on the practice squad, he could escape being picked up on waivers by another team and by his own choice stay here, which it seems like he wants to do. So that seems like they have a safety valve there. I would have guessed he'd be on a team, but their defensive line – talking about all these young guys, the young defensive linemen also really stood out this camp. So they might want to have those guys active because they're not vested veterans, and they want those guys to develop since Brent probably doesn't have too many more years left in him, considering he's the same age as their defensive coordinator and his best friend on the team already retired. So I think he'll stick around. I think he wants to be here, and I think he knows the Ravens want him to be here.
Gianna Hahn, Baltimore Banner, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing for you, Gianna. Practice resumes today. How closely are you going to be monitoring the Lamar Jackson, will he or won't he be there situation? And if he's not there, then we go to DEFCON 5 to DEFCON 4. Is that what we're looking at?
Well, you know, we did an anonymous media poll. I've said it a lot because one anonymous media member selected quarterback as the weakest position group heading into the season. Yes, it has Lamar, he argued, but 66% of that group is not what you want out there, to put it nicely. And so I think that's like the number one thing. Everything starts there. If Lamar is not there, then nothing else really matters because I don't think they will be winning games without Lamar there. Luckily, I don't think, even if he does miss, it doesn't seem like it's too bad of an injury, so there's still a chance to get him back before Buffalo. But yeah, certainly the first thing, as you said, it's going to be bad if he doesn't play, especially against Buffalo. But he seems to be perfect health when we saw him just around the facility and on the field and stuff. So again, knock on wood, fingers crossed, he will be good for that because everything starts with him.
John, I appreciate it as always. What's going on with Baltimore Banner today?
Yeah, we're also getting back, getting ready for the start of the season, you know, talking about this rematch that we have coming up, waiting very anxiously, as you guys are, for 53-man roster so we can get started on who we expect to see play, who maybe some of these surprises are. So I think a lot of it is just waiting for that 4 p.m. Tuesday deadline right now.
Gianna, always thank you for joining us here. Enjoy practice today, and we'll catch up with you before kickoff against the Bills September 7th.
Thanks for having
Thanks,
me.
Thanks, Gianna.
There's Gianna Hahn there. So there you go, Vinny. Lamar's not practicing today. The whole narrative is not, screw Cutdown day. Where's Lamar?
Yes.
Where's Lamar? All I know is take Philly laying that 7 against Dallas.
No doubt.
In a couple of weeks. While we come back, whip around, talk about the NFC or AFC North preseason action that wrapped up the portion of the NFL schedule there. And there was a top 25 college football matchup. Talk about that as well. This day in Orioles history, always good because we only talk about the wins. And then we'll talk to Matt Weirich from the Baltimore Sun, get his impressions of David Rubenstein, Mike Elias, Gunnar Adley, et cetera, and Trevor Rogers.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
It's time to get her done, I guess.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport, every game,
everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Harford County.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Monday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. It's Vinny and Haney. Don't forget the Orioles tonight taking on the Astros. 6:35. Baltimore baseball tonight live from Pickles. Brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Starts at 5:30. Me, Jim Hunter, and Joe LaCroix. So get on down and say hi as the Birds get ready for the Sox, who just took three out of four from the New York Yankees. But Ravens wrap up their preseason with a 33 demolition of the Cowboys, and we'll get into that again when we get the news from the Nest at the top of the hour. But other games within the division included Pittsburgh Thursday night, beating old Carolina there. Skylar Thompson, 11 for 13 with a touchdown. Colts puffy pants to Cincinnati, Riley Leonard, who had a touchdown, 41-14 was the final score. And the Cleveland Browns took on the L.A. Rams. And, hey, a lot of teams played their starters this final weekend of the preseason, including Cleveland. And a guy we're going to see up close and personal September 14th through a touchdown pass.
Flacco, another throw. Looks. End zone. Fannin. Touchdown. Maybe he didn't know who to block on the previous play, but he knows where to go to catch the passes.
Browns TV on the call, 19-17 final score. Not that that matters, but Joe Flacco, he was not pretend with that touchdown pass, but all eyes were on Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. Tyler Huntley was released by the team yesterday, so they trimmed the quarterback room by one, but you still have Kenny Pickett. Deshaun Watson's coming back from the Achilles, maybe eventually, but Gabriel did okay.
Yep.
Sanders, not so much.
Sanders took 5 sacks. He was
running for his life.
Yeah. And I told Bob earlier, every one of the offensive linemen that played with Shedeur in that game Saturday all got cut on Sunday.
So how are they going to assess this room? You got to trade Pickett. You can't keep three on your active roster, much less try to stash somebody on the practice squad.
Well, the only thing they could do with Pickett, Bob, because he hadn't practiced all training camp, basically, they could put him on short-term IR, to get it down to three. They could possibly do that, but then your two backups are two rookies.
Right.
And, you'd have a 41-year-old starter that has no mobility, and then you'd have two rookies that would have to come in.
Because I guess the plan was that Flacco and Pickett compete for the starting job and the loser gets traded or jettisoned, whatever. Yep. But who knows? And to your point, Flacco gets KO'd either in Cincinnati or against Cincinnati or here in Baltimore, then you're going with not even first-round draft pick quarterbacks. Day three quarterbacks.
Yeah, that would not be a good sign for the Browns if that were to happen. Joe looked good, I thought, on Saturday, throwing the ball well and everything, but teams are going to be coming after him, try to make him move and do all those things when the real stuff starts.
Now, there was college football, a few games, as a matter of fact, over this past weekend, including a matchup of top 25 conference foes, the Big 12 over in Dublin, Ireland. Iowa State, number 23. Underdogs against number 17, K-State, who appear to be, and we'll talk to Jerry Palm next hour, appear to be the favorite to win the Big 12. Well, they're 0-1 because of this.
Kansas State rushes five, back throwing to the end zone, and it's caught for a touchdown. Dominic Overbeat, able to haul it in.
ESPN on the call, Rocco Beck, 14 of 28, two touchdowns, including the one we just heard, 24-21. The Cyclones hold off the Wildcats.
There. Yeah, and Bob, the first half of that game was awful. Fumbles and rain, oh, man, and it yeah. was... It was like no preseason games, no, not, it looked rusty. Second half, the game got much better. And I give Matt Campbell, the coach from Iowa State, a ton of credit. It was fourth down and three, like on the plus 20, something like that, down in that vicinity. And they were up three with like 2:20 to go. And they still, and Iowa State had their timeouts, and K-State, I think, used all of theirs. So if the Cyclones kicked it, they're up six, and K-State's got the ball with a two-minute warning, and they can go the length of field. And the last time Iowa State scored, they ran a kickoff back for a touchdown. So Iowa State lines up to go for it, try to get them offside, call timeout. Figure, okay, now they're kicking it. Now they put the offense back in, and they throw a little pass. They get it down to the one-yard line, and you know, and then they could kneel down after. So, I mean, you talk about a gutsy call. That was huge. And I don't blame them, because you know what? It's like, okay, if we make it, we win. If we don't, we're still up three.
But it goes back to what we were talking about last week, Friday. How do you fairly judge the two teams? The weather, you're traveling, you're kind of rock stars for a week yeah. over in Dublin, Ireland. No real game action to hang your hats on. You know, they were basically playing, you know, a joint practice together with pads and accounts and a standings.
Yeah. And you know, it was, listen to the announcers, Bob. Iowa State's won 4 of 5 that they've played, you know, over the last 5 times or 3 out of 4, whatever it was. But that was a big win for the Cyclones, and they did a better job stopping a run this year, and K-State's quarterback looked good.
Oh, sure.
You know, he threw for almost 300 yards, so K-State, they're both going to be good. I mean, both won double-digit games last year, so that was a big game, and K-State still ranked higher than Iowa State right now.
A couple of other games, UNLV, Dan Mullen's debut, beat Idaho State 38-31. Kansas beat Fresno 31-7. Western Kentucky, if you're a fan of them, the Hilltoppers 41-24 over Sam Houston. Frank Reich's debut as Stanford's head coach, not go well, lost to Hawaii 23-20. So the former Terp taking it on the chin.
Well, he's basically doing a solid.
He's the interim coach for Andrew Luck there. It is the Whip Around Video at 81057 The Fan here on this Monday. This day in Orioles history, 1983, down at Memorial Stadium. Dan Ford, 2-run double in the 10th inning, scored Joe Nolan and Al Bumbry. Tippi Martinez gets the win 2-1. Orioles on the way to the World Series 2012. Oriole Park Camden Yards gets Blue Jays again. J.J. Hardy hit a 2-run jack. Adam Jones and Matt Wieters had 2 ribbies apiece. Steve Johnson, Dave Sutt, got the win. 6 strong there. 2014, Oriole Park Camden Yards. Taking on the Rays, Dick Markakis, Steve Pierce, Delman Young, J.J. Hardy, Chris Davis all went deep. Chris Tillman went 7 strong for his 11th win. 9-1 Puppy Panther there. And then 2 years ago against the Rockies, again, Oriole Park Camden Yards. Mounty and Hayes go deep. Gunner hits a 2-run jack in the 8th. Fuji, your boy Nolan, gets the win as the Orioles, Danny Coulon with the save. Orioles edge the Rockies 5-4. When we come back, talk about the current day Orioles 3-2 winners yesterday. Trevor Rogers, what more could you say? He goes out there and you have a chance to win. And he got the necessary run support. Keegan Aiken got the save. Boston coming to town. Spoiler roll, 4-game series. But the big picture, the signings of Bassaia, maybe Gunner, maybe... Maybe Adley, who knows? Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, was there. Get his interpretations next.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
We got all of that to talk about as the show progresses. But right now, let's talk about the Orioles to a guy that covers the Orioles. He's with the Baltimore Sun. It's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Let's welcome back to the show, Matt Weirich. Matt, good morning. How you feeling?
Feeling good. How are y'all?
Doing all right. We'll start with Gunnar Henderson meeting with the media. That is, you're part of that assembled crew in that Oriole clubhouse. It was on the heels of Samuel Basayo getting his extension, which was great news. Everyone celebrated it, and rightfully so. But Gunnar was asked some pointed questions about what did he want, what he wants to see from the organization, would he be open to an extension before he hits free agency, which is usually frowned upon by Scott Boras, his agent. So, Matt, what did you take away from Gunnar Henderson's comments about the future of the Orioles and his maybe being part of it?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are questions that need to be asked, but also it's one of those things where, you know, what else is he going to say at this point of his career? And given who he has as an agent and his success on the field, I think it's pretty plain to everybody that Gunnar Henderson is going to cost a lot to sign to an extension. And if Boras's history is any indication, in order to get him to give up what would be 3 years of arbitration and a full dive into free agency, you know, I think that number that the Orioles have to bring him to the table is going to have to start with a five. I mean, $500 million is probably the going rate now for the best talent in baseball. And over the last 3 years, you know, he's been one of the best in terms of WAR. So he plays a premium position. His defense has only gotten better this season. And you can expect that to continue to grow considering he's only 24 years old. You know, the power maybe hasn't manifested itself in the way it did last year, but he is still this all-around player who just showed yesterday that he can take over a game and win it almost single-handedly. So I do expect that, you know, if the Orioles were to work out something with Gunnar Henderson long before free agency, they're going to have to pay market rate.
I said 10 just hypotheticals, like I have that sort of money, by the way, Matt. 10 for 600 mil, like today. Just go in there. What do you think of this figure? I'm going to write down a number on a piece of paper. What do you think of that? Would that get it done? Or would that be even enough to flabbergast him and Scott Boras?
I mean, 10, certainly, I think would grab their attention simply because a lot of these deals, you know, there's a reason they're 12 years, they're 15 years. Teams like to spread out that AAV a little bit and also keep the player there long term. And if you were to offer Gunnar Henderson 10 years, I mean, you take away the three arbitration years, that's a 7-year free agent deal, gives him a chance to go back into free agency in his early 30s. I think that would be very enticing for him. I don't know if the Orioles would be interested in that. I feel like they would actually want to do something for a little bit longer of a term. So, you know, if you were to say $600 million over 13 years, 14 years, maybe I think that is more enticing to them. But again, we're talking in stratospheres of numbers that the Orioles have never dealt in before. So it would really come down to David Rubenstein saying he doesn't have a financial limit for that to truly be true.
Now, to that point, Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, David Rubenstein said during the Basayo press conference that, to paraphrase, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, that we can handle these sorts of deals, basically. I mean, we're talking about guys that will put the Orioles in that Dodger Padres level of salary structure here. So what does he really mean by that? Because can they really afford, for instance, Gunnar, Adley, Jackson, Holiday, not to mention the Westbergs and Kowalsers, depending on how they progress, that sort of thing? Somebody's got to go, I would assume, just because.
No, I mean, anytime you have one of these, you know, young cores that you put together through the draft and you get all these guys on cheap contracts when they're young, it's almost impossible to keep every single one in your uniform long term. Even big market teams have to deal with that. You know, I saw with the Atlanta Braves core, you know, Freddie Freeman and Dansby Swanson leaving over the years. There's tons of examples of it throughout baseball. But if you can hold on to a couple where you're able to bridge one competitive window to another with a few franchise cornerstones, that goes a long way, especially for the second group we're seeing right now. They just don't have the leadership maybe of some of the veteran guys who could have been from previous eras shepherding the way. That just isn't here anymore. So something where they, when they look ahead to their next core, maybe they could keep a couple of those guys. So I think it's certainly within the realm of possibility, but at the same time, with how expensive Henderson is going to be, I mean, it might be a situation where if they were to sign him, they might not sign anybody else. And, you know, if there's any guy that you'd want to build around, it certainly would be him. But if you want to spread that money around to a couple of different players, I don't know that you're going to be able to sign Henderson and do that as well.
All right, let's get to the guy we all thought might have been the first. That's Ali Rutschman, and he was asked about that. He talked about the frustration of this season, and it has been a frustrating year, said he's going to try to get back in September. But he did the nice little Fred Astaire when asked about his interest in negotiating, basically going, hey, I'm happy for Sam. So what do you think there with Ali Rutschman, whose star is kind of diminished in the eyes of a lot of Oriole fans, if not throughout the national media right now?
Yeah, it's certainly a tough spot right now for Rutschman. You know, if he were to sign an extension, he obviously wouldn't want to be settling and buying low on himself after the last past calendar year that he's had and now dealing with injuries, which he hadn't been up until this season, never been on the injured list. So it's certainly a weird spot. It makes his value a little bit tough to dig in. But, you know, I think that the Orioles certainly know who Ali Rutschman is and can be. They've seen it before. He's done it before. And if they believe that, you know, he's starting to turn a corner a little bit. His numbers, you know, since late May, early June through him going on the injured list now last week, were actually pretty solid and a little bit better than they had been. So maybe some signs of improvement there. But certainly, you know, it's one of those situations where you don't want to, you know, sell yourself short, and the team is not going to want to overpay for a player who has been struggling of late.
Hey, Matt, how surprised are you what you've seen thus far this year from Rodgers?
Oh, man. I mean, it's one of those. He just has come out of completely nowhere. I mean, even to the point where the Orioles didn't necessarily see this coming. I mean, after his first start of the year, they sent him back down to the minor leagues, and his numbers in AAA Norfolk weren't even indicative of this kind of success. So, you know, is this sustainable? You know, without the high strikeout totals, it probably isn't at this level. I mean, a 1.4 ERA is we're talking the stuff of some of the best pitchers of the last 20 years, you know, especially from the left side. I mean, him and Randy Johnson are being mentioned in certain statistics together right now. So when you have that kind of rare air, we're talking about a historic streak that he's on right now. So I think that with him, you know, being under team control for next year, I think you can firmly pencil him into the top of your rotation, if not the number one spot for how the roster shakes out right now. And is somebody you can lean on going into next season to be a true front of the rotation starter.
Speaking of that, real quick, Matt, Kyle Bradis pitches when this week?
It's looking like Tuesday. That, you know, Tony Mancelino has said you could bet on it. He wasn't ready to say you could finalize that, put it in pen, but it seems to be the way that he's trending. So we'll see Sugano today, followed by him tomorrow, and then they still need to call up a starter for Wednesday's game with Brandon Young on the IL and Tyler Wells, not ready yet.
Matt Weirich, Baltimore Sun, talking some Orioles. Matt, appreciate it as always. Have fun down at Camden Yards this week. We'll catch up with you soon.
Matt. Thanks, guys.
There's Matt Weirich, everyone. Breaking NFL news, contract extension agreed upon. We'll tell you who got the dough. We got a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Then Jerry Palm previewed the college football season, which technically has already started at 12:30. His expectations for the Big Ten and beyond. Terry McLaurin, he's been one of the more dramatic stories of training camp through the preseason. Well, drama's come to an end, it looks like.
Yeah, he wanted $33 million a year. He got a three-year extension worth up to $96 million, which is, what, $32 million
a year. Take your word for it.
Yeah. So, I mean, they threw incentives in there, the way it sounds, and they made him happy. So he can get up to probably $32 million a year.
Let's get out to the phones where we get to the fun house. Let's go get Trippy in Baltimore. Trippy, what's up?
Hey, hello.
What's up, Tripp?
Hey, what's up with y'all, man? I wanted to chime in about the Ravens and the Orioles real quick. About the Orioles, man, I told y'all I went to two games before Friday, man. I'm back to 500, man. So I think my next game will be against the Dodgers. But they looking good, though. I was kind of upset Sammy B ain't get to play, man. But like Nolan said, I just like the excitement for him to pitch hit, although he struck out two times. It was good.
All I'm saying is the day before – because I happen to be sitting in the room when Tony Mancelino sat it. He's going to be the everyday catcher. but he wasn't going to catch every day, meaning if it's a, they play seven games in a week, he'll play maybe four of them. But the very next day, I was going to, okay. Anyway, anywho.
The dude, what's his name? Jeremiah Jackson. Can we get a revolution? Woo, woo.
Man, I like him.
Came out to that Kirk Franklin song, man. I knew he was going to do magic. But to the Orioles, I mean, not the Orioles, to the Ravens, though, right? I got a little few things. I'm going to try to make it quick. I want to see them undrafted kids go out there. Because one thing I always say, I mean, I hear the Ravens say they want guys to play like a Raven, right? Now, hear me out. A lot of these young guys, they look up to Lamar Jackson. I'm pretty sure a lot of these freshmen coming in right now would love to play for the Ravens just to play with Lamar because they feel like they might be the missing piece or help produce, you know what I mean, to win. So I'm looking at the guy like Keon Martin. He a ball. He kind of remind me of like a Ladarius type, like Ladarius Webb type, just around the ball, making plays. Even the other dude, Ruben. Now, offensive line, right? I mean, what's the dude's name? Not offensive line, linebacker, Higgins. I feel like he should make the team. Now, I'm not high on the other dude, Jake. Maybe we can, like, cut him or whatever. But if not, I don't know. How y'all feel about Ben Cleveland? And one more thing, Luke, man. I love Luke. Give me the Luke. Give me the Luke. That boy is going to be great. And I'm glad they gave him that 61-yarder just to let him feel himself out. And to the caller that said he might break Justin Tucker's record. Hey, I would love that, but as Raven fans, maybe we don't have to go through that. You know what I mean? Because if you look at that game, then we shouldn't even got to that point. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. I love what the Orioles doing. Hopefully when Bradish come up, if Bradish can do his thing, that's another guy. But Trevor Rogers, let's just stare him. And my favorite player right now is Jeremiah Jackson. Let's go, Jeremiah. Can we get a revolution? Y'all enjoy your day.
All right. There's a lot to unpack with a little trippy on that one. Hey, look. All I want Looper to do is maybe come close to duplicating what Tucker did as a rookie, 31 of 34, kicking game-winning field goals in playoff games. If he could do that, we're great. If he kicks a 67-plus yarder, then, boy, what the hell? But a lot of the undrafted guys he was talking about there, and in particular, Higgins versus Hummel.
Yeah, I think I just think it's going to be Hummel for the reason being that Hummel's the special team expert type guy. And, you know, in the preseason, your special teams were pretty damn good. So I think they want some veteran experience on the special teams. They can't play with a bunch of undrafted rookies because they'll get beat. The thing that's kind of interesting, Bob, you know, when you Trippy brought up the undrafted, you know, like the Bullocks and the Braids and the Lowrys, they're replacing dudes that and having 11 draft picks. They're replacing some of those draft picks, like Bullock's replacing, you know, whether it be, you know, Emory Jones. Yeah, that Emory Thomas, because Emory Jones has never been there either.
Yeah, right. They both play the same amount of snaps.
Yeah, you know, so they're replacing some of the guys that were drafted.
Yeah, Dellinger, dudes like that, you know what I mean? But look, he's ahead of Ben Cleveland in the depth chart, who was a third-round draft pick.
Hey, Bob, I mean, I disagree a little bit with Gianna. You know, they say, well, you know, he's the ninth guy. No, he's the sixth guy, my opinion.
You're talking about Bullock.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I think he's the sixth guy, not the ninth. I think he's, if a guard or center goes down, 67's going in, not 66.
Well, let's bring in our first stringer, Nolan McGraw. Quick draw, how you feeling? How was your weekend?
It was good. It's even better when I can actually talk to you here if I press the right button. Doing good. Doing great. I would like to thank John Harbaugh. I would like to thank Dan Quinn for doing their part to make Saturday's game as watchable as possible by running the ball and running the ball some more on top of that. It was even better when you could go back and watch the game DVR'd in full. I got the whole thing knocked out in a little over an hour. That's preseason football the way it should be right there.
Yep.
No wasting time. Sick of the preseason. Get me to the regular season.
Well, you got your wish. It's over now. But
another week.
How much do you really, you know, take away from the preseason for the Ravens anyway? I mean, they were undefeated this year. Have we started another streak?
No,
does that mean
that
anything?
Again. We don't need that again.
No, we don't want that.
No, as much as Harbaugh would probably like to go that direction.
The only thing I would say is, you know, last year they were 1-2 and they had some issues. This year they were 3-0. And I thought they kicked everybody's ass who they played. I didn't think any game was really close. They dominated every team they played.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that talks a lot about, you know, The players are buying in, the coaches, everybody's on the same page, and they have better depth than everybody else.
I think the thing that I'm maybe not necessarily hung up on, but one of the more interesting positions I'm watching tomorrow is still that running back factor with Rasheen Ali. I still don't really see a way to keep four. Harbaugh's already went on record saying that they want to keep four, and Ali did have a pretty good preseason, but I just don't see it. I mean, why would you prioritize that when you have a three ahead of them that you really, really like, that you have full confidence in? It just doesn't seem like a position where they need to stack additional depth.
Well, I think the thing that Harbs mentioned after the game was he's on every first team in the special teams. You know, so he's a core special team guy. You know, like, he's a core special team guy. Hummel's a core special team guy. Sanusi Kane better be.
Sure.
Bo Braid, if Bo Braid's on the team, you know, it's because he's a core special team guy.
Justice Hill.
Yeah.
But we'll get to the 53 when we come back. News from the Nest. For instance, Jeff Zerbeck has Ali making the team because he has Ricard as a tight end fullback kind of thing.
Right.
So he's got four running backs, Henry Hill, Mitchell, and Ali. So how do they fit Ali and Mitchell into the active roster against Buffalo?
I think only one of them. Well, it's going to be about special teams because, Bob, I mean, you want Henry touching the ball as many times as he can touch it against Buffalo, and then Hill's got his role. So I think they'll have a far hard time. I wouldn't be shocked if Keaton Mitchell's not active for Buffalo.
We'll get into that and more when we come back. News from the Nest. If you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Count the early week, Labor Day week money. Buy or sell, 12:15. Jerry Palm, palmbracket.com. Preview the upcoming college football with him. Season with him. NFL launch at 1 o'clock. American League East report. Interesting weekend in the division. And then Miles Simmons, profootballtalk.com. Preview the 2025 campaign. Could this finally be the year the Kansas City stranglehold in the AFC West comes to an end?
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.